It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it sure is. We are coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who has never said you were too stupid to know what the stakes are heading into the midterms. Hillary Clinton, the people's pantsuit, says voters don't understand the midterm issues.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
And speaking of not understanding things, Joe Biden getting called out by the New York Times, of all places, for speaking gibberish during yesterday's Florida speech.
Make sure you have the record player on at night, the phone.
We're going to get into it on a big Wednesday episode of this show. Arizona Senate candidate Blake Masters making his Fox Across America debut. I know it's a close race out there. Well, not anymore. Not after he comes on this show. Come on, let's be honest. And, of course, Oklahoma Senate candidate Mark Wayne Mullen, currently a congressman, looking to move over to the Senate and help the Republicans take back that majority. 888-788-9910, toll-free number. If you want to be a part of the show, you know the rules. You could be a Republican. You could be a Democrat. Just do not, under any circumstances, do not be a That is all. Happy Wednesday. Vegas, here we come. A few more days till we take off for Vegas. Those shows are sold out. But you can still see me Friday, December the 9th, Saturday, December the 10th at the Bricktown Comedy Club in Oklahoma City. And, of course, Friday night, December the 16th, Saturday night, December the 17th at the Summit City Comedy Club in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I had a really funny conversation yesterday. One of my listeners, you can always message me on the Fox Across America Facebook page. One of my listeners sent me a message last night and said, "Why do you promote your comedy shows so much if they're always sold out?
Are you stupid or something?"
Here's the thing. They're sold out because I promote them, you see. But now's no time to disparage you. You're going to get enough from Hillary Clinton in a minute. But we got to begin with the Biden thing. That's where we start, because this is a fascinating case study in incompetence. Out of the gate today, the White House just announced, a few minutes before I came on the air, I want you to picture this. We just read this White House press release. I will read it to you. I'll be patient here. Come on. Okay. White House just announcing that with the economy tanking, it's the number one issue heading into the midterms. Number two issue is the spike in crime. Number three issue is fuel. Number four issue is the border. Okay, the White House just announcing that Joe Biden is going to give a speech tonight in Washington, D.C. about protecting democracy.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
That's right. Everybody's 70% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. 80% of Americans think the country's headed in the wrong direction. People are living in fear. We've got a 35-year spike in the murder rate. Joe Biden's going to give a speech tonight about the straw man argument of our democracy is under attack.
Democrats are so full of crap.
It's a January 6th Hail Mary, 6 days to go before the midterm elections.
You gotta do better than that.
It's embarrassing. But I mean this, man. And I said this yesterday, okay? We've never had a less competent group of people representing us inside the White House.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
And if you don't believe me, ask the New York Times. I'm going to walk you through this New York Times article, which is a fascinating article. It's all about yesterday. You know, Joe Biden went down to Florida, gave his big speech.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did happen. And the New York Times, of all places, just pounding this speech. But I said it yesterday, and I'll say it today just to reset the kind of the shot clock, if you will. The fact that Joe Biden was in Florida yesterday is kind of like embarrassing. It's kind of like hilarious at the same time, because you understand you're a week out from the midterms. Okay, we've got all of these huge battleground races that are going to decide control of the Senate. Okay, is Biden at any of those races?
The answer would be no.
No, he's down in Florida, where Charlie Crist is down 15 points and he'll probably lose by 20. Okay, Marco Rubio is beating Val Demings by about 9 points. He'll probably wind up beating her by 14 or 15. But they sent Biden down there because there were zero stakes whatsoever. This was a pretend gig. I said it yesterday. If you've ever moved, okay, the Failas have moved 7 times. We don't come from a lot of money. Me and money never get along. Okay, every time me and money get together, it's about 3 or 4 days before we realize why we weren't supposed to be together in the first place. You know what I'm saying? Me and money walking down the street. Oh, is that a blackjack table? Oh, let's check it out. What is that, a strip club?
Hubba, hubba.
Okay, the point is me and money are never together long. Isn't that the old saying, a fool and his money are soon parted? Even when I felt intelligent in life, I've never been able to demonstrate any competency when it comes to keeping money around. But the point is, the Failas have moved 7 times. If you've ever moved with a toddler, when they get in your way, where you're unpacking boxes and you got a lot of stuff to do, at some point you give the toddler an imaginary gig. Hey, Ricky, can you go down to the basement, get the monsters out of the washer machine? And Ricky, oh, wow, monsters, me? Yeah, no, I'm there. And he runs away. Then you move all your boxes. That's what they did yesterday with key battleground races in Arizona. Okay, obviously big ones going on down in Georgia, Pennsylvania, everything in between. They said, hey, Biden, could you get the monsters out of the washer machine down in Florida? And Biden took off to Florida and just went and lied his face off. And again, this is not Fox News trying to slander a Democratic president, some right-wing strongman radio host. I don't care. Okay, I care about the country. I don't really care who runs it. If somebody's running this country well, a rising tide lifts all boats, we'll be fine. My job is not to get Republicans elected. My job is to give you a forum where for 3 hours a day you can talk openly about your ideas without any fear of cancellation or retribution. That's what we do on this show. It is an audio-safe space for cool people.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
The New York Times not digging. Not digging. Joe Biden's speech down in Florida.
Come on, man.
Here is the headline, and it's fantastic. Okay. Biden verbally fumbles twice during campaign trip to Florida. Subheadline: the president confused the war in Iraq with the war in Ukraine and then misstated how his son died. Now, I want to be clear. He did fumble 2 times during this trip down to Florida. Okay. But if you're keeping score for the whole game, he actually stumbled about 35 times, and I'll walk you through it because it's such a mess. But what I want you to understand is the New York Times isn't going to outright hammer the guy, okay, because they need to win these midterms. His policies are very much on the ballot. They're the reason we have the inflation, the crime, and the border that we do. They're the reason Biden is giving a speech tonight about white supremacy. They're the reason, okay, that the Democrats are, you know, pushing all these straw man arguments like Republicans are going to kill pregnant women and, you know, they're banning abortion and AOC says they're not going to treat ectopic pregnancies if a woman actually has one.
AOC is a dope.
Would you shut up? But the reason we have all these straw man arguments is because nobody wants to argue about the real issues. But what the New York Times did is they issued a very measured critique. Okay, here's this one Biden fumble because it makes them look like they have integrity, journalistic integrity. Look, they criticized the Democratic president. But what they criticized him on was a fumble. Hey, he said Iraq when he meant to say Ukraine. And then, yes, he told the lie he repeatedly tells about his son, Beau. I don't want to slander the guy. His child died. Okay. But at the same time, his child, who he continues to insist died in Iraq, died 6 years after he came home from Iraq. It's not quite the same thing. It bothers a lot of people. Okay, I am not going to get into the business of judging how people process grief. That's not my thing. But I am going to judge how the New York Times tried to distill this as a credible critique. Because, yes, the people on the left do have their knives out for Biden. The minute the midterms are over, they're going to run him off the stage. He's too old. He makes up crap. He doesn't know where he is half the time. Because they need to buy back some credibility so they can go out and shill shamelessly for the next Democrat. Don't ever forget, everything that they're starting to criticize about Biden, okay, the fact that, you know, he doesn't know what state he's in half the time, he's constantly lying, okay, he quits talking in the middle of a sentence because he's just decided that he was finished, okay, these are not new things. These are things we all watched in the run-up to the 2020 election. But the media ran his campaign for him. He stayed home. The Democrats were so certain the media could win them the presidency, the new changes to our voting laws could win them the presidency, that they didn't even bother to run. Joe Biden did like 3 Zoom interviews, and then they just stopped altogether because they didn't know what was going to come out of his mouth.
Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black?
But there's Biden down in Florida yesterday, again, doing a pretend campaign event. And everybody in the room knows it. So Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who Biden at one point referred to as a senator, said she was a, you know, the former senator Wasserman. She was never a senator. Okay. She was a congresswoman at one point, and she was, of course, the former DNC chair who was ultimately forced out of the gig because they got caught railroading Bernie Sanders in the run-up to the 2016 primaries and stacking the deck so he wouldn't beat Hillary Clinton. That's a thing. That happened, okay? Nonetheless, with everybody on her side, of course, that election still ended with Hillary barking at the moon. But Debbie Wasserman Schultz tries to get the crowd fired up for Biden, but they're in on the joke. Okay, this is a pretend campaign event, clip 33.
I bet some people in here want to improve people's lives. Are you with me? Okay. Come on, people. Let's wake up. We got the President of the United States in the house. Come on now. I know you got a little more energy than I hear. Okay. Thank you very much. That's the crowd I know. Those are the people I represent. Okay. Just wanted to make sure you were still here.
That was embarrassing.
There's nobody there. And none of them care. The people who are there don't care. It's like, come on. Folks, the presidency, okay, President of the United States, it's a really big deal. It's a big deal. Okay, you might not think anything of Joe Biden, but it's the highest office in the land. It's the most prestigious job in the world. It's right up there. You know, if you want to talk about Pope, you want to talk about monarch like the Queen. Okay, the big three in terms of happening gigs. Okay. Everybody, historically, whether it was an unpopular, you know, Bush was unpopular at the back end of his second term. Jimmy Carter, of course, considered one of the worst presidents in the modern generation of America, modern American history. Nonetheless, they never repeatedly walked into rooms the way this guy does, and nobody gave a shit. Nobody cares that Joe Biden is there. And the minute he got on stage, you understood why. Here's Biden starting off with a fake Southern accent, clip 34.
A senator from Florida going after Medicare and Social Security? I tell you what, I don't know where, as they say in Southern, don't know where y'all been. Hot damn, boy. I tell you, look.
Wait, I don't even know what he just said. I got a senator, sir, you don't know where, you don't know where y'all been.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Never mind that the Washington Post gave Joe Biden's claim that Republicans want to cut Medicare and Social Security four Pinocchios. Four Pinocchios. Maximum strength. There is not a fifth Pinocchio to be given. They stop at four. These are not Fast and the Furious sequels where they just keep churning out Pinocchios. Four is the max Pinocchio. Biden got four Pinocchios from the Washington Post, of all places, for his lie about Republicans wanted to cut Medicare and Social Security, a lie he continues to tell. Okay, but here's another lie. Here's Biden claiming he got his start at a historically black college and university, which is not true. Clip 36.
It's great to be at Florida Memorial University, one of the nation's great HBCUs. I'm a big fan of HBCUs. I got my start at one of those other HBCUs, Delaware State University. Okay, that's pretty good, man.
You're alive.
Okay, he didn't go to Delaware State University. You know where he went? The University of Delaware.
Correctamundo.
Okay, Delaware State, a historically black college. Biden did not attend a historically black college. Just continues to lie. It's fascinating stuff. Okay, here he is trying to walk through numbers. Clip 37.
Well, if anybody think if we're doing it for the first time now in the 21st century, going into the 20th, from the 20th century going into the second quarter of the 21st century, that we'd say 12 years is enough? I think 12 years is enough in the, going into 20, 30, 40, 50?
This man needs a retirement home and a warm bowl of soup.
Okay, and then he went on to say, he was talking about bringing down insulin prices, that he spoke to the inventor of insulin. The inventor of insulin, Frederick Banton, died in 1941, a full year before Joe Biden was born. Here it is, clip 38.
How many of you know somebody with diabetes needs insulin? Well, guess what? And when Debbie and I passed this law, it included everybody, not just seniors. And so what happened was we said, okay, you know how much it costs to make that insulin drug for diabetes? Cost. It was invented by a man who did not patent it because he wanted it available for everyone. I spoke to him.
I spoke to him.
The man is insane. He's not responsible for himself.
Folks, that's the president of the United States. I don't mean to harp on this, but the leader of the free world, okay, has an engine running
and there's nobody behind the wheel.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Which is why, with the midterm 6 days away and the balance of power in Washington, D.C., understand the balance of power is the only thing that matters. Only thing that matters to anybody in Washington. It is it. It is the be-all, end-all. You know, if you're a little kid, the whole year revolves around Christmas with a little side order of Halloween mixed in there. Well, if you're a Democrat, the whole year revolves around Election Day. The whole year. It's all they got. They don't care if they have to get you killed to get your vote. Hey, we'll defund the police. More people will vote for us. We'll tell them the cops are racist. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we'll shut down the schools. More left-wingers will vote for us. We'll tell us, screw the kid. You know? Hey, we'll open the border. Yeah, more people will die from fentanyl. Big deal. People will vote for us. We'll say border security is racist. The Democrats will do anything, anything to get your vote.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Anything, anything, except let Joe Biden speak where the game is truly on the line.
Tell him like it is.
The show not afraid to call out both sides of the aisle.
He's the other side's worst nightmare.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Oh, girl. It is Fox Across America. Your main man, Jimmy Failla. Busy day on the show. Blake Masters is going to be here. He's a Republican candidate for Senate in Arizona. Mark Wayne Mullen in the House as well. But batting leadoff down in College Station, Texas. I'll be in Texas next weekend. William is in the House. Yo, William.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
My man. We needed some good Texan energy on this show, William. We did. So thank you for opening the show today. You're the opening act. How you doing?
Oh, wow.
I'm saying.
Man, I tell you what, I'm psyched up. I'm about to go vote today. I'm waiting for this Republican red wave to hit. Mm-hmm. And when we take back the House and the Senate, one thing I know they don't need to do is impeach Biden. The man took and did one thing smart, and that was take a play out of Obama's playbook, choose a vice president that nobody would want in their place, and put him in power so that way his job's secure. But when we do get there, Republicans need to go up and start working on these issues. And all this mess that Obama's talking about, they're going to hurt seniors. Republicans need to take on that and put a bill there. And don't let those Democrats put any of those social things that run our economy up. Mm-hmm. We need to work on getting this gas in this country, open up the Keystone Pipeline, and we need to do so many things.
Yeah, well, you're spot on, though. Like, the goal is not to win the election. It's to win the election and change things for the better. I think that is the goal, and I think there is a new generation of Republican leadership coming into town that are not traditional politicians that understand the will of the people in a way that D.C. politicians do not. And that's the problem the Democrats have run into, is they've wrecked the country, but they think they're still entitled to your vote just because you want a party to win. You know, that's, they're catering exclusively to their base because they think their base, you know, just wants the party to win. And that might have been the case before inflation went nuts and the border got out of control and they emptied half of the prisons. But you get it, William. This was a fine leadoff call. Is what it was. If I see you in Texas next week, the beers are on me. How about that?
All right, come on down.
All right,
come
I'll see you there.
Nice and cool.
It's a thing. I'll be there. How about William? Just got free beer. I mean, talk about a smooth operator. Guy calls up the radio show, sweet talks the host into free beer, and makes a fine point about Kamala.
Kamala's awful with her weird laugh. Ha ha!
It is Fox Across America, your radio buddy Jimmy Failla, multimedia matinee idol. I mean, I'm the ladies have spoken. I'm on TV a lot. The ladies have spoken.
That boy is a P.I.G. pig.
All right. That wasn't the clip I was hoping they'd play. But here we are having a grown-up discussion about the ladies. Why? Because Hillary Clinton, of all people, Hillary Clinton was on the Joy Reid show yesterday.
Joy Reid is a race-baiting loser.
Is she ever? But, you know, when you talk about a meeting of the minds, no two people in history have gaslit the American public more. So my favorite thing in the world, my favorite thing is everybody, you know, Right now, we're in the run-up to the midterms. Biden is giving a big speech tonight about what? Oh, the election deniers. We got to get rid of the election deniers. That's what we got to watch out for. So he better spare a word for this lady, you know, who said what?
As I've been telling candidates who have come to see me, you can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
Wait, whoa! What about these people who said they hacked the voting machines after the Democrats lost in 2016 and lost the key races in 18?
I continue to think that our voting machines are too vulnerable.
In 2018, electronic voting machines in Georgia and Texas deleted votes for certain candidates or switched votes from one candidate to another.
The biggest seller of voting machines is doing something that violates cybersecurity 101, directing that you install remote access software, which would make a machine like that, you know, a magnet for fraudsters and hackers.
These voting machines can be hacked quite easily.
You could easily hack into them. It makes it seem like all these states are doing different things, but in fact, three companies are controlling this.
There are a lot of states that are dealing with antiquated machines, right, which are vulnerable to being hacked.
The workers were able to easily hack into an electronic voting machine. It was possible to switch votes.
43% of American voters use voting machines that researchers have found have serious security flaws, including back doors.
We know how vulnerable now our systems were. I know the hackathon that took place last year, where virtually every machine was broken into fairly quickly.
I actually held a demonstration for my colleagues here at the Capitol, where we brought in folks who, before our eyes, hacked election machines. Those that are being used in many states.
She is a fraud, a phony, a woman without a moral core, a regular two-faced, mealy-mouthed politician who swings with the wind.
So that's every big-name Democrat, every big-name Democrat telling you 2016 was stolen. The election machines were hacked. Now, to be clear, this isn't really groundbreaking stuff because they also said when they lost in 2004, it was stolen, as they did in the year 2000 when they lost. The Democrats understand, want you to believe it's treason to trust the certification of the electoral vote count, to challenge the certification of a particular state's votes. Okay, the Democrats have done that exact thing the last three times that they lost a presidential election.
That's true. That is true.
2016, 2004, and the year 2000. Now, the Democrats want you to believe there's a difference. Oh, it's different. It's different when we do it. The claim they're making is, well, you know, it's different because when Republicans did it, they stormed the Capitol. January 6th, Paul Pelosi. Come on, everybody knows. Those nudist hippies at Berkeley that live in tents and shoot heroin and go big potty on the sidewalk. Everybody knows they're a bunch of right-wing MAGA extremists. You see, when Republicans question elections, people get violent. That's the justification. So it's fine for the Democrats to question the legitimacy of an election. But if the Republicans do it, it's a threat to democracy.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
And I say that why? Because the Democratic justification is, well, our side didn't get violent when we challenged the election.
That is a lie.
Folks. Okay, I retweeted a montage the other day. Follow me at Jimmy Failla. Elon Musk does. He retweets my stuff. How funny is that? Richest guy in the world retweeting a cabbie. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what that says about the state of things. I don't know that it's necessarily good. But when Donald Trump was inaugurated president, okay, and he took the oath and then proceeded to participate in the parade on the way down to the White House. Do you know what they did? Does anybody remember? Was anybody watching TV? Does anybody have a memory anymore? Are we all just goldfish swimming back and forth with no episodic memory? They treat us like we are. Okay, they set buildings on fire on that parade route. They broke windows, torched buildings, lit limousines on fire, and trashed the parade route. Does anybody remember that? You can watch it. It's on YouTube. It's not like I'm hiding the video. I retweeted it the other day. Okay, understand in the summer of 2020, they threw so many bricks and rocks at the White House, we had 50 Secret Service agents get treated. They erected a second barrier, hustled Trump into a bunker. Okay, set St. John's Church on fire. Okay, there were $42 billion worth of property damage done at left-wing riots okay, over the summer of 2020 in response to racism and George Floyd, something the Democrats had no problem fanning the flames of division on. But to this day, nobody has any proof George Floyd was killed because of the color of his skin.
I think he's got a point.
All we know is a thug cop did something he shouldn't have done. But the Democrats said, well, you know, a riot is the language of the unheard. So this is okay. Even though you can't go to church because of COVID, your kids can't go to school because of COVID, you can't watch your loved ones die because of COVID, they got to be in the hospital alone and you're not having a funeral because of COVID, the Democrats said it was fine if a million people wanted to take to the streets and set them on fire. That was fine. Okay, when you're trying to speak to objective observers, you know the Democrats are completely, I mean completely, totally full of and let's just be clear. I am not on board with January 6th. I think it was horrific. I was covering it on the air. What are you doing? Get out of the Capitol. But the Democrats have tried to draw a distinction between their political violence and Republican political violence. And the reason they're trying to draw that distinction is because it's the only thing on earth they can possibly run on. So here is Hillary Clinton, first and foremost, gaslighting us about how this is a real threat to democracy. What's going on in the country right now? Says the woman who told you the last election was stolen. Clip 14.
What we have with the rhetoric coming from the Republican candidates from their party right now is so disturbing. I didn't see a big outpouring on the part of elected officials to stand with Nancy Pelosi the way she has stood with Republicans as well as Democrats in times of real terror, like on January the 6th. Oh. And so ask yourselves, please, why would you entrust power to people who are either themselves unable to see how terrible it is that someone would be attacked in their home, or don't really care because they think it will somehow get them votes that will get them elected? This is a real threat to the heart of our democracy.
What a loser.
This is a real threat. First of all, listen, I'm not a two wrongs make a right guy, but the Democrats celebrated the attack on Rand Paul. They referred to Donald Trump as Bunker Boy for the stretch run of the 2020 campaign because the Secret Service had to bring him into a bunker because the White House was under attack from Democrats.
I admire your honesty.
Okay, but bigger than all of this, so every Republican has gone out and condemned the attack on Paul Pelosi, including me, including everybody else out there. Do we have a lot of questions about the story? Oh, you bet your ass we do. Dude, there is no world where some hippie who's floating a Black Lives Matter banner and hangs out at Berkeley and is a member of a nudist regime is a right-wing strongman. I know the FBI is going to tell us that. They're also not going to show you the camera footage. At a time when every house in America is sharing silly trick-or-treat footage on their Ring doorbell cams, we're to believe the cameras just weren't doing their thing at the Pelosi house. She's third in line to the presidency. Sorry, we didn't have the cameras on. I'm like, come on, man. And the story has changed dramatically. It went from police got a wellness check. Again, this is their reporting. It went from police got a wellness check. They showed up at 2 a.m. A third man led him into the house to find Pelosi and this other man in their underwear fighting over a hammer, at which point the man hit Pelosi. That was the original story. So don't say we're speculating or don't say we're reckless. These are baseless conspiracies. All we're doing is repeating what we're being told by law enforcement and the media. Now that you've rewritten the whole story, we're not the bad guys for not buying legitimately any of it. And nobody in their right mind buys any of it. Not after Paul Pelosi got a DUI with another person in the car and they wouldn't tell us who was in the car. All we know is the second airbag deployed. But that's not what we should be sidetracked on. What we should be sidetracked on is the insult to your intelligence that I'm about to share with you. This is Hillary Clinton telling Joy Reid, as dumb of a person, as shameless of a race-baiting buffoon as we've ever had anywhere in broadcast media. This is Hillary surmising that voters just don't understand what's at stake in the midterms. They don't even know. It's clip 15.
We have a week for people to focus. If you have a candidate in your state who laughs about an 82-year-old man being hit with a hammer in his own home, there's something wrong with that person. Why would they want you to laugh with them about a crime? If you have someone running who voted in the House, as the vast majority of the Republicans did, to, you know, turn back the clock on women's rights, to turn back the clock on Social Security and Medicare, then why on earth would you vote for that person?
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I mean, what a jackass. You guys got to focus. Because if you're not voting Democrat, it's because you must not be focused. I mean, what are you people over there talking about the fact that inflation's at a 40-year high? So what? You can't feed your family. Focus. What do you mean the murder rate spiked by 35-year? Shut up. Focus. Over here. Over here. So what? The border's wide open. 2 million illegal border crossings. Fentanyl now the leading cause of adult death in America. Would you shut up and focus? You get into all this superficial things. Big deal, your kid couldn't get an education. And now we're forcing medicine on them because we're making a mountain of money off Big Pharma. Would you shut up and focus? Okay, someone laughed about Paul Pelosi. You got to vote for us because they laughed about Paul Pelosi. Like, is anyone even listening to themselves? Is anyone listening? The answer is no. Okay, the Democrats get on TV. Joe Biden's giving a speech tonight. Republicans are going to dismantle the democracy, destroy the planet, and take away women's rights. That's the pitch. And then what do they do in the morning? They get out of bed and go back to accusing the Republicans of running on fear. Oh, these fear-mongering Republicans. I never seen anything like it. You better not elect these fearmongers, or they're going to destroy the planet, dismantle the democracy, and throw the women in jail for getting pregnant. You better not vote for those fearmongers. It's insanity. Nobody's listening to themselves. That's why, like, for me, you know, as I sit here and I cover this just ridiculousness day in and day out, the thing I'm always trying to underscore, okay, politicians work for us. They work for us. Okay, we elect them. We put them into power. Hillary Clinton is hoping we elect her in the future. She is dying to be president. Okay, understand the old quote, the old adage, the presidency is a disease that's only curable by death. That means anybody who wants to be president bad enough will spend the entirety of their existence wishing they were president. They will die wishing they were president had they not become president. This woman will do and say anything, anything to be president, like literally anything. Okay, this is a woman who last summer read the speech she would have given had she won the presidency. Okay, really think about it. Imagine you ran into your high school ex and they recited the wedding vows. They would have recited had you gotten married. Dude, you would have ran for your life. Okay, but that's Hillary Clinton. You're too stupid to understand. This is a woman who wanted your vote. You're a deplorable, as she said in 2016, in 2022. You're not focused. You got a week. You better focus. They laughed at Paul Pelosi. I don't want to hear about your groceries. I don't want to hear about the murder rate. Okay, what do you mean? Your kids. Kids schmids. Borders out of control. Shut your fat face and focus, because I'm Hillary Clinton, and I will do anything, and I will say anything to get your vote.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, because they're raping everybody out here.
It's the show that never hits the books.
I love the poorly educated.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Bill Maher. Bill Maher's an idiot. Okay, fantastic political comedian. I think he's as good as anybody out there. He's obviously not in my class. He doesn't have Gutfeld's ratings. It's pretty close in the height department, though. I'm going to be honest. I don't think either one of them can get on the rides at Six Flags. I will be on Gutfeld next Wednesday night, right after the midterm elections are over. You will see me on Gutfeld, and then I'll be hightailing it down to Tyler, Texas, so I can do my show from KTBB next week. And we're doing a wild meet and greet at Papacitas in Longview, Texas, next Friday, November the 11th. You might see Jenny and Lincoln Failla there if you play your cards right. It depends how early the bars open when it comes to Lincoln. But I bring up Bill Maher, who is just a jackass, because here's Bill Maher on MSNBC explaining how Trump is putting election deniers in place to pull off a coup in 2 years. He's going to return to power. Same crap you just heard out of Hillary. But every single time, and this is why Carrie Lake is going to win and might even be your president someday, is she loves to stick everybody's nose in it. And what I mean by that is every time they bring up election deniers, she goes, first of all, freedom of speech. We're allowed to question elections. But second of all, and more importantly, I think in this instance, is everybody yelling election denier. And I mean everybody. Okay, denied the 2016 election.
When you're right, you're right. And you're right.
Bill Maher spent 3 years telling you Trump was controlled by Vladimir Putin. Again, when it comes to conspiracy theories, there is no bigger conspiracy in the history of this country than Vladimir Putin had seized control of America as a side hustle. Yeah, he was running Moscow. He's over in Moscow, but he had the side gig going now. It's like he opened up a couple of axe throwing places and did parties on the side. He decided to open up in America, and he was just running that out of his desk on the side. It's a side hustle. The biggest conspiracy you've ever heard. And these people should be laughed at and shamed from society. But instead, they just accuse you of being a conspiratorial election denier. Here's Bill Maher, clip 16.
So everyone's sort of acting like this is a normal time, but it's not. Once they win, the die is cast. Because what's going to happen is, I think there's something like 291 people on the ballot for who are election deniers or serious questioners. But they basically don't believe in democracy. They don't believe that, you know, the person with the most votes wins unless he's on our side. Okay, so this is what Trump has been doing behind the scenes, wanting to put these people in place. Because let me tell you something, Ari, on January 20th, my birthday, 2025, he's going to show up at the inauguration, whether he's on the list or not. He's going to show up. But this time, he's going to have this army of election deniers that he has put in place. I mean, people don't slide into authoritarianism necessarily with tanks in the street.
You must be crazy. When are you going to stop believing in something that isn't true?
Did you hear that? He's got a 95 election deniers or serious questioners on the ballot. Because, you know, questioning the legitimacy of anything. You can't do that anymore. You know, unless you're the Democrats and you're Bill Maher and you say they stolen that. They didn't question the last one. They said it was stolen. They said Putin rigged it. Trump is not legitimate. They weren't even election questioners. They flat out said it was stolen, including Bill Maher. But getting past all of that is the fact that, let's be honest, the 2020 election, for whatever you think of it, it was a little different. We never had that level of mail-in voting, something Democrats were against their whole lives until they weren't. Never had ballot harvesting, drop boxes, or anything in between. The point is, the only people who don't have some questions about 2020 are a group of folks we know as idiots.
Bingo.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it sure is. And we are fired up. It is a big hour on this show. You know, they're always big when you consider my physique, you know. Not exactly a runway model over here. I'd be a good before model, if we were being honest. But we're not talking big because of the shape I'm in. We're talking big because we have an embarrassment of radio riches coming up. Blake Masters, he is a Republican candidate for Senate in the great state of Arizona. We will also talk to Mark Wayne Mullen, who is, of course, a Senate candidate in the great state of Oklahoma, someplace I just got back from, and a place I will be heading to on Friday, December the 9th, Saturday, December the 10th. You can see me at the Bricktown Comedy Club down in Oklahoma City. So if you're listening on KRMG in Tulsa, hey, girl, get over to OKC. And if you're listening on 96.9 The Eagle in OKC, get your ass to the Bricktown Comedy Club. Come on, your radio buddy wants to have a good time. It's going to be a wild night. But nothing could be wilder than a trip through the streets of New York City where I live right now. Yo, it is bad. And I, you know, it pains me to say this. I feel like a weird guilt about this. When I drove a cab in New York City, you hear me talk about it to the point, I never shut up about driving a cab.
This is exhausting.
Never. I'm always like, yeah, you know, I drove a cab, right? And, you know, part of the reason I'm doing that is I'm trying to remind you guys that anything's possible in this country. We live in the greatest country in the world. If an idiot like me can go from driving a cab in New York City to appearing on the biggest media platform on earth, talking to millions of people on the radio and the television every night, I mean, it's amazing. Okay, it's a good story. And I just want credit because few people have accomplished more with less. Okay, my biggest career accomplishment in life, other than hosting this nationally syndicated talk show and being on all the biggest shows in media, is that I beat Mike Tyson in Punch-Out when I was in sixth grade. I figured out how to beat him. He throws a minute and a half of uppercuts. He winks with his right eye if he's going to throw a right uppercut. He winks with his left eye if he's going to throw a left uppercut. And basically, if you learn the pattern, you can beat Mike Tyson. Okay, I will add to that that at one point, I actually did beat Super Mario Brothers also. Okay, so let's not pretend I bring a lot of accomplishments. Like, when I got into media and people were like, well, let me have a look at your resume. I was like... But everything I know, I learned driving a taxi and doing stand-up in New York City. And I feel guilty because when I drove a cab in New York, it was nice. We were, you know, basically in the aftermath of Giuliani and that they had flooded the city with cops. They had cleaned up Times Square. They started policing quality of life offenses. Broken windows policing is what they called it. Somebody breaks a window, you lock them up. Why? Because that's the difference between being a grass eater and a meat eater. That's how it was explained to me. I took criminal justice classes in college, and for the two of them I was sober for, former NYPD Captain Redmond P. Burke. You know, I come from a long line of cops. Both my brother's cops. My dad's a cop. Uncle Sonny. Late great Uncle Sonny. A lot of cousins, cops, everybody, okay, in my family. And Redmond P. Burke had explained to us in criminal justice the difference between a grass eater and a meat eater. He's like, a grass eater is, you know, somebody, you know, steals $5 from you. Not a big deal. You know, writes a little graffiti here and there. He's like a meat eater, somebody who steals a car, somebody who burglarizes a house, somebody who rapes a woman. Okay, you become a much bigger threat as a criminal. And the reason they go after things like quality of life offenses, like jumping subway turnstiles, breaking windows, writing graffiti, is because they're trying to stop people before they get used to rationalizing crime. So much so that they build a yes staircase in their head that corresponds with heinous acts. Hey, you want to write a little graffiti? Yeah. Okay, so you write a little graffiti next week. Hey, you want to steal this woman's purse, jump on the subway? Yeah. And then next week, hey, you want to rape one of these people? Yeah. That's what happens. They build a yes staircase of crime. They get used to saying yes to things nobody should be doing in polite society. So when I drove in New York, they were prioritizing those quality of life offenses. It was called racist. It was called, you know, overzealous and biased and everything in between. But you know what we didn't have then that we do now? A 35-year spike in the national murder rate, okay? As it turns out, and I could have told you this, and most rational people could have told you this, the cops were not the bad guys, okay? But the Democrats spent the summer of 2020 telling us they were.
Look, if you hate cops just because they're cops, the next time you get in trouble, call a crackhead.
But seriously, they told us the cops were a bigger threat to the communities than the criminals they were sworn to protect us against. They furthered the distrust between police and society, made it impossible for cops to do their jobs, and crime has spiked. But nobody told those jackasses over at The View.
The View is awful.
It really is. I'm going to play you some of this. Because Kathy Hochul, who's running for, as you know, governor here in New York, will have Lee Zeldin back on the show, her opponent Friday. Hochul won't come on. She's too busy. I would think just throwing hand sanitizer all over the office she inherited from handsy Andy Cuomo.
Andy! Andy!
Again, she was not elected governor. She was appointed governor. Because Andrew Cuomo, as you know, had some troubles around the old office water cooler when it came to making small talk with the ladies.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
But Kathy Hochul said something disqualifying the other day. Okay, and this is not a smart woman. Kathy Hochul is a loathsome human being. I'm not even making this up. She is campaigning Thursday. This Thursday, she is campaigning with Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, and our New York Attorney General, Letitia James. Okay, Kamala, Hillary, Letitia James. Like, honestly, that's who she's campaigning with here in New York on Thursday night. I joked yesterday she wanted to campaign with somebody New Yorkers like more, but the Boston Red Sox were busy. Like, are you kidding me? Kamala, Hillary, and Letitia James, the jackass attorney general that's staked her whole existence. I'm going to get Donald Trump. Nobody in New York right now, as crime is spiking, as inflation is through the roof, nobody cares that everybody has sexual fantasies about sending Donald Trump to prison. That's not what anybody cares about right now. You're getting thrown in front of a subway or chased through Times Square. Yo, it is bad out there. It is bad out there. You've heard me say this before. New York City right now, if you walk the streets at night, looks like Gotham City before Batman shows up. Except Batman ain't coming because he's not vaccinated. That's just the reality they've created for all of us to inhabit. She said, okay, Kathy Hochul, that this was a conspiracy. Ah, Republicans trying to get you scared, worked up over the crime. How dare they work you up over the crime, you know? Time was you didn't mind a good mugging. You didn't mind a good push-in robbery. Who the hell are these Republicans? Say, you know, we got to be focused on crime. I can't do this, okay? But here it is. This is crazy talk. This should be disqualifying, okay? Okay, this is clip 15.
These are master manipulators. They have this conspiracy going all across America to try and convince people that in Democratic states they're not as safe. Well, guess what? They're also not only election deniers, they're data deniers. The safer places are the Democratic states.
I mean, dude, I got to be honest with you, man.
You're a bald-faced liar.
If you look at the 20 cities in America with the highest murder rates per capita, do you know what they all have in common? They're run by Democrats. Okay. But when she tries to draw this distinction on crime, she's now factoring in things like parking tickets, shoplifting, everything in between, a pretty generous umbrella. Okay. And when she says they're data deniers, okay, in New York, of the major crime indexes, I want to grant you this. Murder is technically down from this time last year. Okay. But do you know what every other crime index has in common? Okay. Robbery, attempted murder, rape, violent felonious assault. You know what they all have in common? They're all up.
Correctamundo.
New York is horrifying right now. I'm kind of used to it. I grew up here. I grew up when Times Square was, you know, legitimate red light district, daytime prostitution and strip clubs everywhere.
Oh, yes. I've read about that in the Bible.
Okay. But what we're dealing with now is not a filthy New York. And don't get me wrong. It's filthy. You can't walk 3 feet without smoking weed or seeing somebody pee on a sidewalk. It's disgusting. Okay. But there is such a brazen disregard for the well-being of other people. Okay, you walk through Times Square at night, everybody's riding around on, you know, quads, with no exhaust pipes on them, straight pipes, like they, you know, just really, really indifferent to your audible experience. You've watched all these horrific, horrific people getting pushed onto the subway. You've heard all these heartbreaking stories. There's a mom right now making headlines. I don't even want to talk about it. But a man who should be rotting in prison got out of prison, obviously a few hours after he committed a crime that should leave him rotting in prison and killed a poor woman's daughter. Okay, we covered a story on this show a few weeks back. You saw me talking about it on TV, where an FDNY, fire department lieutenant, a woman who was a month from retirement, a woman who was referred to as mom in the firehouse because she was a mentor and almost a parent to all the younger firemen, got stabbed outside of the fire department 50 times by a lunatic who had already been sent to jail for killing his own grandmother, but was out on the street because of all of these woke bail reforms.
Everything woke turns to
But according to Kathy Hochul, that's all a conspiracy theory. Those are data deniers. What do you mean your daughter got killed? Oh, give me this crap about crime, you data denier. So what? The head of your fire department got stabbed 40 times. I'm not going to sit here and have you deny my data. Okay? Data is data. People are people. This is a disgusting indifference to the quality of life. But according to The View, again, a weapons grade stupid. Here is Joy Behar telling you crime is down. Crime is down. Under Joe Biden. Take it away, clip 45.
There is no both sides here.
No.
And a lot of them like to say it, including Ted Cruz when he was here. And I'd like to remind everybody that it was the Democrats, not the Democrats, who stormed the government that day and tried to kill the vice president.
Yeah.
Okay? And the Republicans now coming up to the next election, which is next week, by the way. All they do is talk about crime, crime, crime. Well, I looked it up. Murders in major cities have fallen by 4% so far in 2022 compared with the same period a year ago. So crime is not on the rise. It's actually going down under Joe Biden.
Garbage like you just makes me sick.
Okay. Well, in that case, okay, tell all the people whose kids got murdered that crime's not a big deal. Folks, last year, crime in this country, murder, specifically murder. She referenced murder, so I'll reference murder. Murder in this country last year spiked to a 35-year high under Joe Biden. The fact that it's down 4% off a 35-year high, I don't have the exact number, but it means we're probably at, oh, I'm sorry, Joy, you're right. Murder's at a 30-year high. I guess everything's okay then.
You shut your mouth, you bastard.
These are idiots. idiots who have the luxury of treating politics as a sport. I root for the Yankees, you root for the Red Sox. We give politics that same level, that same cavalier approach to consuming it. She doesn't care about crime. Why? She's a security detail. She's a famous rich person. She's a gassy woman, cranky, not funny, and just disparages Republicans as a job. Why? Because she hates herself.
He knows what he's talking about.
I have worked with Joy Behar. We've done stand-up gigs together here in the city. We did some pretty big benefits, to her credit, raising money for nice causes. We have been on a lot of the same bills. We actually have a lot of the same friends because that's how comedy circles work in New York. She is a loathsome human being. When she goes home at night, she fills up the bathtub and screams in it because she hates herself. Ah! That's the gig. Trump's the devil. You're all a bunch of Nazis. These Republicans yelling about crime, crime, crime. They're all full of it. Get a life. Why do you got to bring this stuff up? All right, I'll be right back. I just got to get my head into the tub here really quick. Ah! That's Joy Behar every night. Just a self-hating, self-loathing liberal jackass. To look a camera in the face and say, shut up about crime. Yo, people are dying. People are getting killed. Their siblings, their children, their spouses, their coworkers. Okay? The city is out of control right now. It is horrifying to walk through New York City right now. And this is just the city. Okay? The outer boroughs are actually worse. They don't have any tourism. In New York, there are enough people here that it actually reduces the appearance of riffraff. It's not as apparent to you when there's a few million people walking around Midtown looking at tall buildings, buying fake Rolexes, buying counterfeit coach bags. Yeah, by the way, if the bag says assistant coach, it's not a real bag, fellas. It's called coach, not called assistant coach. You got to be careful. You're getting ripped off. But the point is, she can say things like this because to her, politics are a team sport. My team needs to win. I want my team to win, so I'll just say anything. Crime doesn't matter. I just want to win, so forget about crime. Shut up about your kids dying. You Republicans. Okay, but that's what they do because they're fat, spoiled children. That's what they do. I just want to get my way. Mom, I want my party to win. Okay, and they're willing to consume politics as if it's a team sport with no regard for the toxic effect they have on society. Don't ever forget, The View told you every day for 3 years that Donald Trump stole the election, and now they're yelling about election deniers. We got to do something. They're denying the election. Okay, I mean, honestly, if you were going to be clear about denialism and everything in between, okay, anybody watching The View should be called a reality denier because everybody on that show is a weapons-grade idiot.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
With Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America. Fox Across America presents Great Moments in Presidential History.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth.
Tonight, I am directing NASA to develop a permanently manned space station and to do it within a decade.
You know, the rapidly rising
Hey, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Another great moment in presidential history. The White House has just been forced to delete a tweet after they got fact-checked by Twitter.
Oh, wow!
Yo, it is so amazing. It is so amazing watching everybody in this country play under the same rules. Because up until a week ago, nobody was fact-checking Democrats on anything. You lie about everything, call the other side spreaders of misinformation, and get them banned from the platform. The White House posted an embarrassing tweet this morning, something I responded to myself. The tweet was, seniors are getting the biggest increase in their Social Security checks in 10 years through President Biden's leadership. Now, do you want to know why they're getting their biggest increase in their Social Security check in 10 years through Biden's leadership? Because of a trigger law signed by Richard Nixon that bumps up Social Security to compete with inflation. Why does that carry significant weight? Because it means they're not getting an increase because Biden's doing good. They're getting an increase because Biden's doing bad.
That is correct.
Okay, they're bragging. Oh, look at the Social Security increase you got. Yeah, it's because inflation's at a 40-year high. You're bragging about the best Social Security bump in 10 years because you've given them the worst inflation bump in 40 years. Imagine calling somebody up and being like, hey, we lowered home heating bills by burning down your house. Hey, give it up for me, would you? We've never been led by a more incompetent group of idiots than right now.
That's true.
Oh boy, they're playing Maneater by Hall & Oates. I don't even know if you could sing that anymore. I think you got to sing Them Eater or They Eater. Something like, you know, you can't just go out and assume the person's gender in a song these days.
What the hell is the world coming to?
I do not know. But this next guest, currently a superstar serving the state of Oklahoma in Congress, en route to becoming a senator. And if it all comes down to barbecue recommendations, I think he's got it in the bag. Mark Wayne Mullins in the house. Hey, man.
What's up, Jimmy? How you doing?
I'm doing better now. I got some good Oaky magic. I was down there about 3 weeks ago, and I wanted to commend you. You gave me some good barbecue recommendations.
Good. I do know food. I work out so I can eat.
Oh, you see.
I don't pretend to be healthy.
No, right now I'm about to land a lucrative gig as a before model. So, you know,
oh, really?
I know food. I know food differently than you do.
Yeah. I like that.
I'm the guy they show me standing sideways and they're like, look at him. And then he took our supplement and now look at him now. But I won't be in both shots. I'll only be in the shot on the left. But so I'll tell you what I did. I was in Tulsa. We hit Rib Crib. It was fantastic. But then I was down in Enid, Oklahoma. I went to a place called Swadley's that I hadn't heard of and also fantastic. I mean, they're Oklahoma barbecue. This is the thing. People yell and scream about Kansas City barbecue. We have a lot of guys come on and yell about North Carolina barbecue. But Oklahoma barbecue is actually underrated. It's really good. Would you not agree?
I agree, but I thought I told you Swadley's.
Yeah, you did. It was one of them. But I'd never heard of it. Yeah. I had heard of Rib Crib. Yeah. I'd never heard of Swadley's. It was great.
Yes.
No, you
Swadley's, and they're different. They're different. They're totally different. Their sauces are different, but I think they're good. And what's crazy is they're consistently good at their restaurants.
Yes. No.
And most of the time you can't find them. I mean, there's one-offs in Oklahoma that are just, you know, to die for, but you got to be there. And then sometimes you got to call in to get reservations.
Yeah, everything closed by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was like the Biden presidency. They call a lid at 2 o'clock. It's just like, that's it. You got no barbecue. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, let me talk about this, because with all the things going on, you're out on the campaign trail, okay? Biden's giving a speech tonight with, you know, inflation spiking and crime out of control. He's giving a speech about protecting democracy. Is anybody coming up to you on the trail saying that's the issue bothering the family at the dinner table?
No, I it seems like to me most of the time we're talking about inflation these days.
Yeah.
Protecting democracy is we need to do that come November 8th because they're the ones that's destroying it. And it's funny how they kind of point themselves at we're trying to destroy it, and the biggest threat to democracy is MAGA supporters.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's going to go out there and give some speeches, but yet what he's trying to do is balloon the size of government, take more freedoms away from us, make us more reliant on government, and embrace the Democrat Party embracing the socialist progressive agendas. It's just you know, how do you say they're trying to you're trying to protect our republic by pushing these agendas? It just doesn't make any sense. But it's called distraction. That's all it is. I tell people all the time they want to point out everybody else's speck in their eye. Why they got this huge plank hanging out of theirs.
Yo, it's a pretty funny analogy. Mark Wayne Mullen is on the line. He's running for Senate in the great state of Oklahoma. You know, I just found it funny because the effort they're putting in, I always look at elections like the Olympics, okay? Okay, the Democrats fought voter ID tooth and nail. We just had a case in Pennsylvania. This is not your jurisdiction, but it was about mail-in ballots, and they were fighting to keep undated ballots eligible to be counted, meaning we'll finish counting whenever the ballots stop coming in. Like, that's not election day or week. That's just permanent election. But the point is, in the Olympics, okay, if a country was doing this much to ban safeguards, you'd assume every athlete was on some kind of decent performance-enhancing drug, would you not?
Yeah, it's a good. That's actually a good analogy. But what are the Democrats going to run on, Jimmy? They're going to run on their policies because they've been so great. they can't talk about the great economy. They can't talk about how much better people are off today than they were before you took office. They can't talk about any of that. So they've got to talk about distractions. Mm-hmm. They've got to start talking about the irony of this, how this election is going to be rigged against them. This is why they have failed. They're already starting to set up, voter suppression and suing, like you said, in Pennsylvania. And yet they keep talking about voter suppression even in Georgia. And yet you have record turnouts there. And you're going, what are you guys talking about? I'm not understanding what you guys are trying to say. But what else are they going to talk about, Jimmy? They can't talk about anything that they've accomplished because everything they have touched has literally fell apart.
Well, you're going to have a laugh, okay? Because one of the things they were hoping to talk about the White House just deleted a tweet because Twitter fact-checked the White House. Because the White House has been bragging that seniors got their biggest Social Security boost in 10 years because of the White House. But what they failed to tie into the brag is that this boost was triggered by the fact that inflation broke a threshold of increase.
It's based on index of cost of living.
Yeah. Look at us. We got your Social Security bump up because we spiked inflation to a 40-year high. Yeah, it's really is like they're the least competent group of people I've ever watched run anything. I don't even just – it's scared. It's sad that it's the White House. But, I mean,
The Department of Energy put out a report themselves, Jimmy, that said that the average cost of energy for an average homeowner to heat their house across the United States – this is average across the United States – just to heat their house is going to cost them additional $7,000 this year than it did last year.
Stop it.
From the Department of Energy. They put that out. And can you imagine that? I mean, no wonder why the seniors have got to get a bump up on their Social Security. How are you going to swallow that? How are you going to be able to add that in when your average household income in the state of Oklahoma is just over $40,000 a year, and you're going to spend an additional $7,000 just to heat your house? Yeah, 1 in 6. This is according to the Department of Energy, too. Uh-huh. 1 in 6 Americans today are behind in their utility payments because of this.
That's madness. That is complete madness. And their indifference to that, you know, because when you get out there tonight, you yell about democracy and everything in between. You know, you're really telling people what the focus should be. But we all know what the focus should be to voters. That's why the polling is the way it is. But they're just living in different worlds. But it's kind of fascinating, you know, that they could be that out of touch or maybe even indifferent. But that's what's going on. I mean, the same thing with crime. I mean, if you watch crime around the country in Democratic-run cities, they're telling us that the Republicans are fear-mongering by highlighting the crime. But we're actually trying to bring attention to the problem similar to the border so we could actually do something about it. I mean, in your experience, is it worth it more to them to run on an issue than it is to solve it?
100%. I mean, think about this. They ran on the issue on immigration reform. How long have they been running on immigration reform? 12 years?
Yep.
And now they have total control, which is the second time within this 12-year period that they've had total control of the chamber in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
When Obama was first in office, Biden first in office, they ran on immigration. What have they done?
Nope.
Nothing. They haven't done one single thing. They haven't proposed even legislation to even try to even look at DACA or any other immigration issues. It's the issue that they run on, not fixing it, because that issue becomes an opportunity for them to divide voters and show differences. solutions isn't what they want. Solutions to them is just larger government, not based on a republic that it's freedoms, it's individual rights, it's our ability to choose what we're going to do that day and our ability to choose success and to choose how hard we're going to work. It's our ability to pick up each day, say, hey, we're going to put our boots on. We're going to give everything we got. And if we want to quit early, then we choose to do that. If we want to quit before we achieve full success, that's still our opportunity. But why are we punishing people that are successful? Once again, it's about equality. It's about dividing people. It's not about actually solving issues. It's about pointing out the problems, but not coming up with solutions.
Oh, it's so true. Everybody, they just want you to hate everybody. That's all it is. We hate the rich people. They're like, come on, man. People don't migrate to this country to demonize the rich. They come here because they have a chance to get rich. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
It's really weird.
I think Tulsi's the one that, Tulsi Gabbard, she broke the Democrat Party down better than any individual I've ever heard. And she did it in a 90-second video?
Yep.
And of course, Tulsi is a dear friend of mine. I call her my sister, and she calls me her brother. I mean, we're really, really close.
Wow.
And we have been. Our families are close. Abraham, her husband, and my wife.
I didn't know that. So I've even met her sister, who was a former cop, who was worked with her when she was campaigning.
U.S. Marshal.
Yes, that's
she
right.
She is their family. Jimmy is the neatest family ever seen. I haven't seen a family that close ever in my life, and that's what I really. I mean, that when I told Tulsi. Back when we were freshmen, when I first met her family, I said, the neatest thing about you is your family. I wish one day my family is as close as your family. It is just her brother-in-law is awesome. Her in-laws are awesome. Her mom and dad are awesome. They're legit. Who do you see is who they really are. But getting back to the politics side of it, what she said and the way she described today's Democrats, are exactly it. They're about division, not unity today. They're about driving that wedge and trying to get people ginned up through anger rather than actually trying to solve problems. And that anger is coming back and biting them because people got a bill of goods that they thought they were going to have a return on, and instead they got the worst economy and higher inflation than what we've seen in 40 years.
It's bananas. I agree with everything you said. And as far as the Gabbards, though, I just want you to know the Failas will outdrink and outeat the Gabbards any day of the week. Very impressive what you said about them. They sound like a wonderful family. But if you want to slide a message over to Hawaii and tell them to hop on a plane to the mainland, they're not going to know what hit them is all I'm saying to you. Okay?
I don't know. I went to Abraham and Tulsi's wedding. They had quite a feast there. Now, they are vegetarians, and so they had a lot of
Start with the vegan. We will wipe the floor. Listen, when we hang up the phone, you call down the Swadleys and ask them about the Fox guy who came through. They're shivering. They've never seen consumption like this. These people were running in fear. It was crazy.
I'm upset you didn't invite me, man. You should have invited me. We should have broke bread together.
Well, yeah, you were somewhere, but it was for your own safety. I ordered the type of food where the waitress asked me if everything was okay in my life. She's like, is everything okay at home, honey? I'm like, yeah. I was going to do a stand-up show tonight. I'm a little hungry. How about that, lady?
You need to go back? No, I'll be eating all this right now. I'm good.
All right. Oh, it was all gone, believe me. How about that movement? When you order the takeout and they give you three forks, but it's just you? I totally had one of those moments. It was embarrassing, but I'll be back. Good hang, man. Let's close this deal, man. We're in the home stretch. You feeling good?
I'm feeling wonderful. I mean, we are working our tails off. Last night I was in Payne County, which is up by Stillwater, which is where Oklahoma State University is. Mm-hmm. And we had a meeting there, and it was packed. I mean, it packed. They have knocked more doors in Payne County. They have knocked more doors for me than any other county in the state, which we have 77 counties, and they have just rocked it. And I asked them, I said, how many of you guys have been volunteering for me? And the whole room raised their hand. I said, how many have I ever met? And literally two-thirds of the room there I had never met before.
Wow.
And I said, that's the most humbling thing you could ever do for me is that you put your time, which is you don't get a return on your time. Once you give your time, you don't get it back. Mm-hmm. You've given your time and you've given your resources to me because you believe in what we're trying to get done. We're fighting for this country. We're not going to lose.
Yep.
And that's humbling. I said, all you've done is just filled my tank full, and I promise you no one's going to work harder than me for you all. And I mean, that is – and this happens to me all the time when I go across the state, and it's so humbling, Jimmy. It's the most – being in office and public service is the most humbling thing that you can ever do because – people have this envision of what you can get done, and truly it's a coalition of people that have to get stuff done.
Yep.
And they're just so hungry for change, mm-hmm. that when they see it, they just want to go to it. And that's what we've been putting out there. If we're ever going to change DC, we got to change the resume we send there, and people will bought into it. And man, it is so awesome. And I can't wait to get started. I mean, I can't wait till November 8th is here and we're done with this race and all these negative commercials can go off the TV on me and I can, you know, I can start feeling like I am a decent guy again, because I did think I was a good guy until all these commercials started running.
Well, I thought you were a good guy until you agreed to come on the show. Now I know better. But I always appreciate it, man. All right, finish up strong, brother, man. We'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. See you, Jimmy.
You're the best. Mark Wayne Mullen. You're a Republican candidate for Senate in the great state of Oklahoma. Check it out if you're on KRMG, if you're listening on 96.9 The Eagle. And stick around, because when we come back, I have the greatest election scam involving voter ID and the trans rights movement you'll ever hear anywhere. It's breaking news right now. We play it when we come back.
You're listening to the most addictive show on the radio.
This is crack, rock cocaine. It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon bringing you another big day of top shelf radio in a bottom feeding political world. The stampede of identity politics stupidity picking up a lot of speed over on NBC, where a reporter just claimed that voter ID laws disproportionately impact trans people the most. Come on, man.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
Listen to this clip.
So voter ID laws disproportionately impact trans people because trans people are more likely to have IDs without the name that they go by and the gender marker that reflects how they present. And recent research shows that just over 200,000 eligible trans voters in 31 states that both conduct their elections mostly in person and require or request ID at the polls don't have IDs that reflect their gender identities and the names they go by.
So voter ID started out as Jim Crow on steroids. Now I guess it's Jen Crow. It changed its gender identity. Would you come on already? Peep the things in the run-up to a midterm election that people will pull out of their is truly astonishing. All right, well, I guess we can't have voter ID. We shouldn't know who's voting in our elections. Okay, you need an ID to get on a plane. You need an ID to buy a beer. You need an ID to rent a car. You need an ID to get a bank account. You need an ID to pick up your tickets at the baseball game. But should we have ID to vote?
The answer would be no.
Come on, man. These are our elections. You want to talk to me about protecting democracy? You've got one party fighting like hell, pulling anything they can known to man. Again, apologize. I know it's the daytime in some markets, but pulling things out of their that they can weaponize as a grievance of some type of discriminatory practice so they can get you mad at the safeguards that protect our elections. Remember tonight, Joe Biden is going to speak about protecting democracy. He speaks on behalf of a party that is trying to eliminate every single safeguard that would actually protect our democracy. What does that tell you? It tells you their internal polling is so bad that they're already laying the groundwork to claim the midterms were stolen. There you have it.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, you bet it is. And we are getting ready for a wild one. Blake Masters, the Republican nominee for Senate in the great state of Arizona, is going to stop by, give us the man behind the myth. You know, if you listen to the left wing, they'll tell you you're going to die just from hearing the interview. It's great. Like, he's an extremist. We're all going to die. Save yourselves. But his opponent, who has supported an open border his entire time in Washington, which of course has led to a record level of fentanyl deaths in this country, if you were putting it on paper, probably looks like the bigger extremist, if we're being fair.
I admire your honesty.
But my job is not to convince you one way or the other. My job is to give you the people behind the politics, and we will do exactly that. 888-788-9910. As we get going on a big hour, the White House, so hilarious. The White House announcing earlier today, Joe Biden is going to speak tonight about protecting democracy. We've got 6 days to go until the midterms. Number one issue is inflation. Number two issue is crime. Number three issue is the border. Number four issue, fuel prices. Number five issue, abortion. Joe Biden's going to get out there tonight and speak on, I guess, what I believe is the number 13 or 14 issue.
This is the biggest schmuck I've ever met.
Oh, it's protecting democracy. You know what that means? That means their internal polling shows them getting crushed on Tuesday, so they're already laying the groundwork to say it was stolen. They'll do that. Don't ever forget. If you just pay attention to politics, honestly, my job is not to get anybody elected. I'm a talk show host. I really don't care who runs the country as long as they run the country well. That's the whole point of me being on the air every day. Just do a good job. It's America. I want to root for the country. Stop bad-mouthing the country. Get the government the hell out of the way and let us do our thing.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Well said. But the Democrats, who have radically expanded the size of the government and want you to be dependent on the government for everything, everything. Government tells you whether or not your kids can go to school, tells you whether or not you can go out to eat. Are you vaccinated? Nope. All right, you're ordering takeout, Holmes. Can't go to the restaurant. The government, who has imposed its will on every single one of your freedoms, now wants you to believe that your right to vote is under attack in this country. Let me just ask you this question, okay? Can anybody, any single solitary person listening to this radio show right now, point to one example of a person who is legally registered to vote that was denied to have their vote cast?
The answer would be no.
Is there anybody out there, any legally registered to vote, that was denied the right to have their vote counted?
The answer would be no.
And we know this is true because they would be all over the news with it every second of the day. They have been claiming voter suppression every day since 2018 when Stacey Abrams lost down in Georgia.
Stacey Abrams is full of—
Of course she is, because Georgia today, are you ready for this? For the first time in its history, Georgia's early voting topped 2 million people. Georgia, the state Joe Biden referred to as Jim Crow on steroids.
This is Jim Crow on steroids, what they're doing in Georgia and 40 other states.
2 million people, if this is Jim Crow, which violently denied people the right to vote, burnt down their houses, physically attacked them, mobs, dogs, Bull Connor, literacy clauses, grandfather clauses, poll taxes, physically, violently, financially denied people the right to vote. The law he is slandering in Georgia as Jim Crow on steroids has led to 2 million people voting early. Hardly the stuff of voter suppression. But Joe Biden is going to get out there tonight, and he's going to lecture us about the integrity of the vote. He's going to accuse, according to Karine Jean-Pierre, I'm going to play her clip in a minute, he is going to accuse mega MAGA Republicans of refusing to accept the election results. Now, that's significant because the Democrats always, always, always accuse the other side of exactly what they're up to.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
So what does that mean? Their internal polling right now is so horrific, they know they're going to lose. they're going to challenge the integrity in the key races that they lose. They're also going to engage in every type of chicanerous act they can to ensure that they win, because that's what they did in 2020. I can't tell you the 2020 election was stolen. I don't know that for a fact. I'm a responsible broadcaster. But my gut is not good, man. When you see how many different ways the elections were changed to juice turnout. I mean, again, does anybody in their right mind believe Joe Biden got 15 million more votes than Barack Obama?
The answer would be no.
Barack Obama is the most popular Democratic president in the history of the United States. Okay. His first black president. Okay. He was a guy the media fangirled over the entirety of his presidency.
Don't be thick, all right?
I'm just saying, he wasn't a particularly good president. He gave the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world access to $50 billion in cash assets.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
But the media continued to fangirl with him all the way through. All the way through. But you're going to tell me Joe Biden, a guy who didn't even campaign, got 15 million more votes than Obama? Forget even the Trump thing. I mean, give me a break. But the point is, one way or the other, the Democrats are always accusing the other side of exactly what they're doing. When you hear the term election denier, when you hear the term election denier, I know I've been playing this clip a lot lately, but they've been saying election denier a lot lately. So let me ask you if this sounds like election denialism.
As I've been telling candidates who have come to see me, you can run the best campaign, you can even become the nominee, and you can have the election stolen from you.
Do you agree that Donald Trump is, in effect, not a legitimate president?
I think that there's no question that the process that elected him was not legitimate.
The president-elect, although legally elected, is not legitimate.
Donald Trump is an illegitimate president.
I think the interference, although not yet quantified, if fully investigated, would show that Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016.
So do you believe President Trump is an illegitimate president?
Based on what I just said, which I can't retract.
Trump knows he's an illegitimate president who got illegitimate foreign help.
You can't handle the truth!
Okay, Hillary Clinton was just a terrible candidate and she lost. It was a very thin margin, but she's the reason she lost. Okay, she didn't go to Wisconsin, which was a key battleground state. She thought she was entitled to win, and that's the problem of the Clinton campaign. It had nothing to do with Trump. That was the biggest conspiracy in the history of this country, that Vladimir Putin had seized control of our government from his place in Moscow. Think about it. Is all the conspiracy theories they throw out there, we faked the moon landing. Dude, there's nothing on par with Vladimir Putin controls our government from afar. But that's what the Democrats went with. And to be clear, they went with it knowing it wasn't true because the whole thing was based on Hillary Clinton's opposition research, which was bought and paid for to distract from her email issue. Okay, but that's where we are now as we head into the midterms. Yes, Republicans claimed, some Republicans, Donald Trump being foremost, that the 2020 election was stolen. Now, one of the main reasons he claimed that is, one, they changed every rule known to man, worked around state legislatures in violation of state constitutions to do so. But two, you know, because of the, you know, influx of mail-in ballots that happened to come in long after Election Day. Yes, they were legal under the new rule changes. But Donald Trump saw over the course of 4 years in office that nothing was beneath the Democrats when it came to throwing him out of office. Literally nothing. They accused him publicly of stealing the election with Vladimir Putin, knowing it was their research that started this charade. I mean, is there anything lower? Okay, remember, the Mueller probe was not designed to find collusion because they knew they didn't have any. It was designed to get Trump to fire Robert Mueller and create the perception that there was a there. Oh, he fired Mueller. It must be collusion. It must have been getting close. That was the whole point. That's why they were leaking one anonymously sourced bombshell after another, day after day after day after day. Oh, the walls are closing in. He's going to jail. His kids are going to testify against him. Oh, we've never seen anything like it. And then the Mueller probe came and went, and Mueller testified about the probe and apparently had no involvement in it whatsoever because as doddering old men go, I'd put him at a 9 on a scale of 1 to Biden. Okay, guy was a disaster. But the Democrats are always accusing you of exactly what they're doing. I stole the election. Okay, they claim 2016 was stolen. Okay, he claimed 2020 was stolen. I don't think that's good. I think if you care about the country, at this point, what do? We greenlight a bipartisan investigation into election integrity and get to a place where everybody can trust the vote count. Because the last two elections have ended with the losing party saying it was stolen. And Biden is damn well getting ready to lay the groundwork for saying this one was stolen from him, which is why he's going to lecture us about Republicans not accepting the results. Here is Karine Jean-Pierre saying exactly that.
He has been clear, democracy is under assault, and we cannot pretend otherwise. The president will continue to call attention to the threat to democratic integrity and to public safety posed by those who deny the documented truth about election result and those who seek to undermine public faith in our system of government. Unfortunately, we have seen mega MAGA Republican officials who don't believe in the rule of law. They refuse to accept the results of free and fair elections, and they fan the flames of political violence through what they praise and what they refuse to condemn.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
I mean, the term weapons grade stupid, never more applicable. When you hear that calculated mega, MAGA Republicans, you know why they have to say that? I'm not even kidding. Okay, because they paid a focus group millions of dollars to give them a catchphrase that would allow them to slander Republicans. That's how traditional politics work. A focus group gets brought in. All right, we need to do something that'll stick with people. Mega, MAGA. Okay, that's what they did. And now they have to trot it out because they paid for it. It's like if you follow sports, if a general manager gives somebody a massive contract, but the guy sucks, they're going to play him for as long as physically possible because they paid for it. They want him in the lineup. They want an opportunity for that general manager's faith in this athlete to be validated. They don't want to quit on a guy because, you know, listen, if you gave a guy $130 million 10-year contract, he can't hit a curveball. Okay, you look really bad as the GM, so you hold out hope against hope that he'll eventually learn how to hit the curveball. He's going to have a longer leash than anybody out there. Mega MAGA, which is as dumb of a saying as we've ever heard, okay, is out there because one of the general managers of the White House brought in a focus group, spent $5 or $6 million on a strategy for the midterms, and the best they came up with was Mega MAGA.
You gotta do better than that.
But there we are. The Mega MAGA. No, Mega MAGA. Nobody cares. Inflation's at a 40-year high. Okay? Crime's out of control. Border's out of control. We got a baby formula shortage. People can't put gas in their car. Nobody cares about alliteration. Now is not, alliteration's not getting you to the polls. Okay, especially after Biden gave the speech he gave yesterday down in Florida, where even the New York Times laughed in his face because the guy couldn't speak English. Okay, this is a dumb time to be alive. Okay, we're going to be talking to a guy that's running for Senate in this hour, Blake Masters, out in the great state of Arizona, who is mega MAGA. Okay, the slander against him is he's an American first conservative, which is my favorite thing in the world. So, what do you mean America first? That's racist. Is there any other politician in any other country in the world that's not putting their own country first?
The answer would be no.
It's not racist. Are you an idiot? If you got hired to manage the Yankees, you're not going to get up to the press conference and be like, and now that I'm managing the Yankees, I'm going to do all I can to help the rest of the American League East. We got the Orioles, got the Red Sox, got the Blue Jays. We got to be thinking in terms of the whole division, not just the Yankees. That's what we got to do. And the press would be like,
get him out of here. Get him out.
But here we are, slandering people who like the country. But that's why the Democrats are about to lose everything. Because if you really wanted me to oversimplify this, if the voters are saying one thing that they are sick of, it's,
we're not going to sit here and listen to you bad mouth the United States of America.
Tackling issues of the day in an easy way.
He's all man. He's a big, strong-looking guy.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're going to be talking with Arizona Senate candidate Blake Masters in the next break. But right now, Carl is in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Yo, Carl.
Hey, how are we, Jimmy?
My man. Midterm madness. There's so many stupid things to sift through. What stupid have you unearthed today?
Well, this morning I'm a welder by trade. So anyway, I got the radio on listening. And Tucker Carlson's show was on the radio, and he had people on talking about the Fetterman.
Mm-hmm.
And he obviously, since the debate, he sucked.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, absolutely sucked. Well, thank you, good night. We'll leave it at that. That's where we start. So anyway, he can't campaign for himself. So the Democrats are sending all these different congressmen. I didn't catch all the names, but Tucker had a sound clip of about 6 to 8 different politicians campaigning for him.
Mm-hmm.
For
talking about how, he'd be able to fully fulfill his duties as a senator and all this other stuff and how great he's going to be. Well, I would like to hope that we as the American people, the American voter, have a little bit higher expectations from a U.S. senator than to be able to not answer a question.
Yeah, it's bad. And it's like, you know, you wish the guy well physically, but
he clearly can't.
I know, but you get it. I get it. He clearly can't do the job, you know.
Right.
But they just want the seat. You know, there's the whole idea that if he wins and resigns, the government could appoint his wife. I don't know how that'll go. You know, I don't know what to make of that. But there's no world you can watch him and go, oh, yeah, this guy could do the job, you know.
Right.
But
right.
Again, back to the earlier, you know, pronouncement, they really just want power and they don't care. But the whole point, I think you know this, of getting power is to use it well. But doesn't seem like anybody thinks in those terms.
Exactly. I don't even know what their plan is. They don't seem to have any concern about anything. They don't. I mean, a politician's a politician. They all say they're going to do the best and so on and so forth. But they used to at least listen to the polls and try to change opinions. They don't care. I don't know. Are they that out of touch? Is that possible?
I mean, I don't. I don't know. It's fascinating. Okay.
We'll
watch. Biden's giving a speech tonight about election integrity. As like everybody's concerned about everything, but nobody cares. Okay. But when they say like our Republicans aren't going to accept the results, you know why they're doing that? Because they're not going to accept the results. They're going to lose.
Absolutely.
Their internal polling is bad enough that they're laying the groundwork for them to say it was stolen. Wow. They're mega Republicans. We would have beat them, but then they cheated. That's where it's headed. This is the dumbest time there's ever been to be alive. Just enjoy it. Because you never look around at the landscape and feel smarter in your life than you do right now. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. They do help us feel better about ourselves each and every day.
Maybe that was the goal. This, as it turns out, was the most empowering presidential administration of our lifetimes. We should be appreciating them, Carl. Dang it.
I am a genius. Thank you.
You are. Well said, Mr. Valedictorian. We'll talk soon, Carl. Brandy is down in Houston, Texas. I got to get down to Houston, Texas. What's up, Brandy?
Hi.
Hey, girl. How you living?
Could be worse. Could be living in another country.
That's true. Yeah, well, you could be in New York with me one way or the other. What was your take? You told Mikey something about changing the way we vote.
Yeah, so I don't know if you ever travel internationally, because I do a lot, and there's this thing called a global pass where you do this rigorous thing where they get you pre-registered in the system so you don't have to stand in line coming back in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if there was a way they could do that to where we then vote by thumbprint.
Yeah.
Instead of all this argument over IDs and all this. And that way we just vote by thumbprint. And for the people that do the mail-in, let's say they live out in the boonies,
mm-hmm.
have like a mobile station where they come and they just use their thumbprint.
Uh-huh. But then, I mean, that's kind of unfair to the Democrats because you still haven't explained how the dead people vote. I'm being
so
silly.
I was just curious. That might be a good thing to do. It's just if we just all go to thumbprint.
It's interesting. I don't know enough about the technology, but Blake Masters is coming up from Arizona. Maybe I'll ask him if we should just be thumbing it like we're hitchhiking to the vote. I like this. I think you're onto something, Brandy, because we definitely need to strengthen election integrity. So I think your heart's in the right place, and I will take this under consideration, and the next time we speak, I will have an answer, okay?
Thank you.
You're the coolest, Brandy. Have a great day down there in Houston. I'll be in Texas. Oh, God, I can't wait to get to Texas. It's just the best. Blake Masters, when we come back. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. And we're fired up to talk to this next guest. I consider him a choose your own adventure book. Do you remember choose your own adventure books that like make a decision, go to page 82? Well, if you went to one of this guy's events, you'd go, wow, it's a really sharp guy who wants to take politics back to an era where we put the country first. But if you listen to left-wing media, you probably could get killed just from being a part of this interview. Joining us now to separate, I guess, fact from fiction, Blake Masters is in the house. Hey, man, how are you?
Jimmy, doing great. How are you?
Isn't it wild? I just want to ask you this, because you call yourself an America First conservative. Isn't it weird to see that used as a slander?
Yeah, you'd think that putting the country first wouldn't be a partisan thing, although no Democrat today in power would admit that they put America or Americans first. It's almost like they're ashamed of that. And I think that's a huge problem. To me, it's just common sense.
It's weird. Like, to put it in my terms, like, I live in New York, okay? The Democrats are asking people to buy season tickets to the Yankees and root against the team. You know, it doesn't make any sense, but they want you to hate the country, and I just don't like it. Like, if they wanted to slander you, I think they should point out that you were C-3PO for Halloween, because I think you got the wrong end of that deal.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm tall and thin, so it lent itself to C-3PO. My two-year-old, he's more shaped like R2-D2, so I think things just naturally fell into place.
Okay, so you answered my question, because I saw the picture you posted of your family. You got a wife and three kids, beautiful family. I believe your wife was Leia, the kids were Luke, Vader, and R2, so it was just a physique thing that landed you C-3PO?
Apparently. You know, we let the kids decide, and that's how it shook out.
Yeah, it's usually generally the way.
At least they didn't make me Jabba the Hutt, you know?
No, you don't have the physique. I could have rocked a Jabba the Hutt, maybe some low-level Chewbacca work myself. But let's get into it for a second. Now I'm just laughing. I'm trying to stay focused. Would you say, though, okay, you know, calling yourself an America First conservative, do you feel like, based on what Kelly has done to the border, he's almost a Mexico First Democrat? I mean, how do you characterize him?
He's a Mexican narco-terrorist drug cartel first kind of guy. You know, I tell people, it started out as a joke, and I realized, yikes, this is serious. Mm-hmm. If the Mexican narco-terrorists, right, if these drug cartel members could vote in this Arizona Senate election, 100% of them would cast a vote for Mark Kelly.
That's
right?
Nice.
I'm endorsed by the Border Patrol. Mark Kelly's basically endorsed by the cartel. They want him because Mark Kelly votes in lockstep with Joe Biden's open borders policies. The cartels are loving it. People in Arizona don't like it so much. Mark Kelly and Joe Biden have turned every county in our state, actually every county in America, into a border county.
That's the fascinating thing nobody pays attention to, is when we discuss the border, everybody thinks in terms of Texas and Arizona. But the fentanyl winds up in, as you said, every county in the country. And it really is like a dereliction of duty. When you hear fentanyl is the leading cause of adult death in America, and it's not getting press on par with, you know, the leading cause of traffic tickets in America. I know it is by you, but is that by design? Like, what do you attribute that to?
It's by design. They threw the borders open. They're not even trying to secure the border, right? They're not even trying to stop the flow of this poison. And you got to conclude that for whatever reason, they want it this way. You know, Mark Kelly, he hasn't done a thing about fentanyl for 20 months, his whole time in the Senate, until actually just like 2 hours ago, he tweeted out some new legislation, the Stop Fentanyl Act of 2022 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the audacity, right, to do nothing to secure our border while we're losing kids. We've lost 2,000 people, mostly young people, to this fentanyl, to this poison in Arizona in just the last year. 100,000 dead Americans poisoned to death by fentanyl. Mark Kelly couldn't be bothered to lift a finger to do anything about it. Now he pretends 6 days before an election, oh, hey, fentanyl's a problem, right? Now that Blake is closing in on his polls, now Mark Kelly pretends to care. I say it's too little too late. I think he should have to attend some of these funerals and look a grieving mother in the eye and explain to her why he failed to even lift a finger to stop the flow of this poison into our country.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We're talking to Blake Masters, your Republican nominee for Senate in the great state of Arizona. I'm so fascinated by this. They've taken border security and they've conflated it with some type of like racism. Like, it's discriminatory to want to know what's coming in and out of your country. And what's so ridiculous about the fraud of the whole thing is that Democrats in the past, under previous administrations, Obama and Bush, have been in support of border wall funding because, of course, you just want to police your own border. So couldn't you make an argument that identity politics has escalated to the point that we're now just getting people killed because we're more worried about hurt feelings than we are about policing the border?
That's right. This extreme identity politics, this wokeness, right, this mm-hmm. left-wing ideology, it is dangerous. It's compromising our national security mm-hmm. right there at the border, right? You just articulated it. What about in our military? Mm-hmm. The wokeness in our military, that really freaks me out. I know a lot of special operations guys who quit the military recently mm-hmm. because they got tired of, you know, after a firefight in Afghanistan,
yeah.
Like literally one guy told me he had to get an hour-long mandatory PowerPoint briefing on transgenderism in the military.
Gosh.
Do we have enough trans special forces, right? Because wokeness, it's a cancer, and we need to just get back to common sense.
No, you're right. I mean, it's the whole thing. There's no room on a battlefield for discrimination. You're never going to hear, cover me, I'm going in, but not you people. You know what I'm saying? And that, sadly, you know, but war has always been, you know, the one place where you couldn't discriminate if you wanted to. That's just the harsh reality, but I don't think anybody cares. Let me ask you this, because I know you got a good pickup this week. Mark Victor dropped out, the Libertarian candidate. How did that go down? Did you promise him he could be Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Halloween photo?
That's funny. No, we just had a good conversation, and you know, he opened up an invitation to myself and also to Mark Kelly. He said, "Hey, guys, you know, I'm interested in supporting whichever candidate is going to be more pro liberty." Mm-hmm. Well, I took him up on his offer. We talked for 20 minutes. Mark Kelly, of course, is the anti liberty candidate. He votes for all the crazy lockdowns and mask mandates. Whereas I'm going to support our First Amendment and our Second Amendment and our Fourth. All of the amendments, right? I don't even think Mark Kelly knows what the 10th Amendment is that limits the power of the federal government. And so after chatting with this libertarian, you know, I used to call myself a libertarian. Like, uh-huh. I get it. Individual rights are supremely important. Government power, very dangerous. Mm-hmm. And so when it became clear that I'm the liberty candidate in this race, right, if you don't want your kid to be taught to be transgender, if you don't want your kid to be forcibly vaccinated against your will, that's what's on the ballot here in Arizona. And so I'm happy to have the libertarian candidate withdraw and endorse me.
Unbelievable. Such an extremist, Masters. This is unbelievable. The freedom, the Constitution. Who do you think you are? I'm laughing. But let me ask you this. You wrote the best-selling book, Zero to One. It's worth pointing out. It's the world's most popular book on startups and venture capitalism. Have you ever seen an administration that's more hostile to small businesses than the one we're currently dealing with?
No. Actually, and there have been some pretty bad administrations. The Biden administration, you know, it's like, do they just not understand business? I mean, Biden's been a career politician his whole life. Mark Kelly, right? I mean, I think he ably served his country in the military, but he's never had business experience. Mm-hmm. And so maybe these people just don't get it. Mm-hmm. But I actually think, no, maybe they're clever enough to understand perfectly well what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're just saddling American business, American industry with layers of regulations. Higher and higher taxes, right? It's like, look at what they did to our domestic energy production. Mm-hmm. They totally surrendered it. Now we're begging Saudi Arabia to pump more oil while they laugh at Joe Biden. But I think the biggest stranglehold is on small business. Small business is the lifeblood of our economy. It's the absolute backbone of our economy. And it's why the NFIB endorsed me. All the small business groups endorsed me. I'm going to get in there and block Biden's crazy agenda so we can just let people be free to run their businesses as they see fit. What a wild idea.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Isn't the best thing the government could do at this point to be to just get the hell out of the way?
Yes. I mean, look, all Biden had to do was nothing.
Yeah,
right?
That's so funny.
All he had to do was nothing. But instead, they printed $6 trillion. They surrendered our energy independence. Well, that's a left-right combination that causes massive inflation. People talk about inflation as if it's some act of God, some horrible hurricane. We don't know where it came from. No, it came from Biden's White House. And Mark Kelly, my opponent in Arizona, just rubber stamped all of Biden's crazy policies that caused this inflation. It's their fault. They need to be punished. They need to lose their jobs.
No, I think everyone listening would agree with you on that. Like, we're dealing with so many self-inflicted wounds to the economy and just to the overall quality of life in the country. It's really wild to see incompetence on this level. Like, Biden's speaking tonight about protecting democracy. And I got to tell you, like, when you look at everything people are focused on at the polls, whether we're talking about the economy or crime or the border, things we've already covered, I don't know anybody at a dinner table tonight that's really sitting around worried about protecting democracy. But is that something you run into on the campaign trail?
The Democrats hem and haw about democracy because they don't want to talk about the wide open border that they've caused. They don't want to talk about 13% record inflation here in Maricopa County, Arizona. They don't want to talk about rising crime, right? So, but you can substitute our power in for democracy. Democrats care about protecting their own power, right? We live in a constitutional republic. The Republicans running right now are running to save this republic. And when we have this red wave, when we sweep the Democrats next week, that's going to be democracy in action, I'll tell you that.
No, it's coming. And that's the thing. I think internally, obviously, they know what's happening. And so this has just descended into desperate character assassinations in the home stretch because that's all we have left. A couple more quick ones. We're talking to Blake Masters, Republican nominee for Senate in the great state of Arizona. Your solid power tie game, is that you or Mrs. Masters? I just have to know.
close collaboration, you know, team effort.
Oh, I like that. It's like a mom and pop. No, me and Jenny Fallon do that when I'm on TV here at Fox. I just need Jenny to work, like, on the personal training side now. Like, she's good with wardrobe, but she's not getting me to the gym enough. Does Mrs. Masters make you run?
I should have taken blood work before and after the campaign. I'm sure it's an absolute disaster. My diet's In-N-Out burgers and Lucky Charms. But, you know, once I win, it's back to eating clean and two-a-days at the gym.
It's a whole new Masters. By the way, Lucky Charms, the most fascinating thing about Lucky Charms is a great bowl of cereal. But you do understand that it's marshmallows and cat food. It's purple horseshoes and meow mix. Have you figured that out yet?
Didn't they make a version one time? It was like a special edition, which was only the marshmallows.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, at least that's the human side of the box.
Really,
dude, I ate three bowls of Lucky Charms in fifth grade, and I meowed for a week. It's tender vittles, dude. It's tender vittles. Last question. You're on your way, man. Arizona, they are hosting the Super Bowl in your state this year. Okay, this is a question. We've discussed this at great length with a lot of Arizona representatives and politicians. Does Blake Masters, does a Senator Blake Masters throw a solid Super Bowl party?
Oh, yeah. The likes of which we've never seen. I'll team up with Kerry Lake.
We'll
make a spectacle of it.
Oh, Masters. All right. We're going to get into this then. Okay. Because Kerry Lake is great on the show. We really love talking to her. I think she was playing defense because I asked Kerry Lake if she throws a crazy Super Bowl party. And I think she didn't want to catch heat for saying like she loves beer or guacamole or something. So she told me her favorite thing about the Super Bowl was the national anthem. Now, I don't doubt she loves the national anthem because she clearly loves America. But do you think she was playing a little defense and not wanting to say Coors Light or something on the air?
I think we can agree that the national anthem is amazing. And, you know, what's also pretty damn good is, am I allowed to say that on the radio? Sorry, is beer and guacamole.
Masters, there you go. You won the vote. You stuck the landing.
I love it all.
You redeemed Kerry Lake. And I will tell her that the next time she's on the show next week. That was the answer we needed out of you. That was the most important issue we covered all day. Take a bow. Enjoy the power ties. You got a box of Lucky Charms coming on me. All right, man?
Amazing.
Thanks, brother. Good stuff. The great Blake Masters, check him out in the great state of Arizona, running for Senate. Fellas, can we just talk amongst us really quick? Josh, you can certainly get on the air and weigh in on this. That was the Super Bowl answer we needed. Forget everything else. The cartel, the border, we know that stuff. That was the right answer.
I mean, he took the kickoff right back and scored the touchdown. He ran 102 yards straight through.
Yo, you guys understand that we've been talking about this for 2 weeks on the show. Mikey, are you satisfied with his Super Bowl answer?
Oh, yeah, he hit it out of the park there.
Okay.
He's a baseball reference for the World Series tonight.
Yeah, no, it was a home run. Okay. We had Kerry Lake on, for everybody listening, and I genuinely really enjoyed Kerry Lake. I enjoyed the conversation. I love the way she takes the fight to the media. And she had a no-hitter going into the bottom of the ninth. We asked her what she was looking forward to about the Super Bowl, and she said the national anthem. She's like, oh, my favorite part is the national anthem. And we were like, oh.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
And to be clear, we love her. We think Katie Hobbs is a buffoon. Masters is great. Cartel Kelly has just earned that nickname. Okay. But we have a zero tolerance policy for people who don't throw a good Super Bowl party is all we're trying to say. So the Republican Party back in our good graces for the moment. We'll take a break. We're back after this.
It's the number one children's show in the country.
He's a lot better at radio than he is being a dad.
Oh, snap.
It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Doing the damn thing here on the radio. I'll be on the TV tomorrow at 5:45 in the morning on Fox and Friends First. It's not a busy TV week. They got a lot of political people on. Next week, the night after the midterms, I'll be back on Gutfeld with our little comedy dwarf, Greg Gutfeld. And then the minute the show's over, we are flying down to Texas, baby. Going to go hang out at KTBB and celebrate their 75th anniversary on November the 10th. November the 11th, we will be at Papacitas down there in Longview. And it's going to be a rowdy one. I hope you guys can make it. That's a Friday after work. Dude, I'm going to be a disaster. Friday after work in the state of Texas?
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Well, that's exactly how we're going to go through life next Friday night. So if you're around, give it a go. But the big speech tonight, and something I'm sure we'll talk a lot about tomorrow, is Joe Biden is giving a speech tonight about protecting democracy. And Karine Jean-Pierre summed it up earlier. Let me give you her words as to why this speech is being given.
He has been clear. Democracy is under assault, and we cannot pretend otherwise. The president will continue to call attention to the threat to democratic integrity and to public safety posed by those who deny the documented truth about election results and those who seek to undermine public faith in our system of government. Unfortunately, we have seen mega MAGA Republican officials who don't believe in the rule of law. They refuse to accept the results of free and fair elections, and they fan the flames of political violence through what they praise and what they refuse to condemn.
That was absolutely dreadful.
Even more dreadful by the fact that Karine Jean-Pierre, the woman who just lectured us about mega MAGA Republicans, you know, the mega MAGA Republicans,
she's worse than Kamala.
But what was the big lecture there? What was it? What was it? What did she say? You listened. What did she say? She said they deny the results of elections. Here's her tweet, December 17th, 2016, my birthday. This is her tweet. She's talking about the dangers of denying the results of an election. You can't do that. It's a danger to our democracy. They're trotting Biden out at 7 p.m. They're going to shoot him up with B-12 because he usually sundowns around 4:30 and thinks he's Batman. But they're trotting him out at 7 p.m., hopped up on B-12, putting the biggest font they can in a teleprompter to warn us about the dangers of people not accepting election results. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre's tweet, December 17th, 2016. Stolen emails, stolen drones, stolen election. Welcome to the world of unprecedented Trump.
Oh, wow!
Yo, I don't run the Donald Trump Radio Defense Fund. You know that. Okay, I try to run the Honest Conversation Defense Fund. A woman who gets out at the White House podium and tells you people who don't accept election results are a threat to our democracy and then tweets that it's a stolen email, stolen drone, stolen election. Welcome to the unprecedented world of Trump. Folks, and to be clear, it's not her only tweet. Here's March 12th, 2019. Talking about the Stacey Abrams election, okay? Stacey Abrams, okay? It'd be difficult for Stacey Abrams to win since she lost her state bid. We all know damn well there was massive voter suppression and cheating, so I wouldn't call it a loss. I call it a stolen election. Karine Jean-Pierre replies, yes, the race was stolen.
This is ridiculous.
We are living in the death of shame. That's why I say every day, be a Republican, be a Democrat, do not be Karine Jean-Pierre.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.